Senior Focus. Welcome everyone, I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, your presenter of this edition of Senior Focus. Our topic this week is mental health awareness, as it's Mental Health Awareness Week. And it's such a big issue, for especially given the number of reasonably traumatic events for quite a large group in the population across the country, with the events that we've had this year, with the unexpected cyclone and the floods and so on. And in addition, I think the pressures on people to balance their budgets have made life more stressful. And as the recession deepens, issues about cutbacks and job losses and so on will appear, and so those are on the horizon. I think that's unnerving people as well. So there is a lot going on for everyone, and I hear a lot of conversations like, oh, I feel so overwhelmed. It's just so much. I don't know which way to, I don't know what to tackle first. And with that conversation, I also have noted a number of people ringing me in panic mode, where they've suddenly had something appear and it's like the last straw. The overwhelm is threatening to sink them. And so for this program, I thought quite a lot about it, and I looked at the Mental Health Foundation website, and of course they promote the five ways to well-being as solutions that help you self-manage. And they're very positive suggestions, and I've used them before to make programs and to bring people in who are practicing some of the things that they suggest. So what I thought I would do to kick off is just to remind people about the five ways to well-being, particularly number one, which is take note. Because sometimes when we get agitated or overwhelmed, or we're overreacting to something, we're actually not very calm, we're not very centred. And if we can ground ourselves by just looking about and observing our own environment, looking at clouds, looking at colours in plants, looking at people going past in the street if you're out and about or you're in a cafe. So starting to observe your environment, and particularly seeking out a connection with nature, can be very helpful. So go for a walk in a park and start taking notice of what you see about you, the birds, the ducks, whatever. And it can bring you back into a sense of centeredness. The next thing is quite an odd thing in some ways, because it's to tell you to give. And sometimes when we give, or thinking about giving, we're thinking about, oh, well, I haven't got enough money to buy them a present, or, you know, I haven't got enough food to feed an extra mouthful this particular week. Sometimes we're not always clear what we can give of ourselves that's so valuable. Listening is one of the most treasured gifts. If you've struck someone who really listens to you, you'll know what I mean. It's so special. So next time when you're threatened with overwhelm, think about these five ways to well-being, and think about how you could implement them across your day as a brief interruption to just centre yourself. And with giving, it might be a case of sending a text to someone to tell them just how much you admire a particular skill they have, or it might be you think of somebody and you imagine sending them flowers, even if you can't actually physically go and do it. You just imagine, make an imaginary gift. There's lots of ways of doing your giving. The third way to well-being is to be active. And of course, there's so much research now about the importance of exercise, just a simple walk, just going out for a walk for 10 minutes, a walk around the block, change your state, just lift the lid on what's going on and just give yourself a breather by being active. And that focus, that shift in your energy can make all the difference. It doesn't have to be a great big activity session of a whole hour at the gym. Or it can be something quite simple. I've got a habit where I do stretches, and in particular I found it's incredibly important to elevate one's legs, because the more you can elevate your legs, either get them up on a chair or have them straight up the wall, lying horizontal out from the wall, when you do this you release tension in the abdominal area. So straight away your stomach relaxes, your digestive system functions better, and just a few rounds of deep breathing, 10 minutes, and you've changed a great deal about how your body's functioning and your mind has calmed down. So the fourth way to well-being is probably the one that we hear a lot about. It's the one that people are talking about a lot, is your connections. How well you connect with others, how often you reach out, how many people you're in touch with, have hugs with, socialise with in a week. And there's a kind of an optimum, and everyone's different. I mean, some people need to see a couple of friends a week in order to feel that they're in a happy place. Other people can go a fortnight, but then they want a really long chat when they do connect. So we're different in how we do it and how often we need to do it, but it's very, very important. And when people are struggling with their mental health, one of the first assessment tools is for the person helping to actually find out who is in their social circle, who do they connect with. And when there are gaps in that circle, when people have passed on or moved away, and suddenly there might be three or four people have gone in a quick succession, it can provoke a mental health crisis. And some people who go over the edge and who have been involved in serious harm incidents, it's been triggered by this loss, sudden loss and illness and inability to cope. So it's very important to look out for not only ourselves but our loved ones when we know that there is a loss of connection happening. And the fifth way to well-being is to keep learning. And some of us might have resistance to formal learning. We didn't enjoy school, or we have bad memories of feeling a failure. However, we're always able to learn anything, any time of the day. There's always an opening, because we can always choose to see information or hear information or focus on information differently. It's that innermost attitude, what we bring to situations. So rather than having a fixed idea of what should happen or how things work or how things need to work, we can always take two steps back and we can always investigate a new way to do something. One or two sort of basic rules of thumb that I picked up early on in my career. I was told, you know, you'll need to look after yourself. You'll need to do things, take yourself in hand, because you'll find that the demands on the role are so great and no one will look after you. You've got to look after yourself. But what you might be able to do is just have a few basic rules, like if you feel stuck, there's always a third alternative. And that's a great way to do new learning, because when you're stuck and you see just two options, you don't know what the third option is. But the learning is for your brain to create a third option. Another thing that I was instructed to do was to actually do small tasks or break tasks down into smaller tasks and timetable them. So I always had a break every hour, so I wasn't working continuously at the same thing for too long, because it's very fatigue producing, that and that brings you down and that undermines you. So how you structure your work is really important, and that's an area where we can learn too. We can learn skills on how we structure things. So you might have two people facing the same workload, but they approach it totally differently. I'll talk more about that in the program ahead. But just for now, it's a really good idea to set yourself some learning task. I mean, one of the strongest ways to ward off dementia is to learn a second language. And, of course, learning languages at any stage of adulthood is not easy, but in older age it's somewhat harder. But it's a great way of training your memory. And my hero that I've talked about on the program a few times, my husband's aunt, was an extraordinary woman, because she took up learning languages with a vengeance, and she did a degree in eight languages, starting when she was 62, finishing when she was 80. So her brain was very active. She had a marvellous memory and a wonderful way to age, because she had so many young students that she was in touch with on a daily basis. So she had a very stimulating life, even though she had no immediate family. So there she was, well connected through the learning. And that's the thing, that all these ways to well-being are all interconnected in their own way. A lot of people take notice in nature through gardening, and a lot of people are involved in community gardens where they connect with people and they have lots of opportunities to have chats and socialise while they're gardening, and they love it. So it's not a case of just focusing on one way to well-being or seeing them in isolation, but rather seeing them as layered and connected and actually all adding value together. So the Mental Health Foundation have put out a poster for this year to focus on some things that you can do, and they are suggesting things like smiling at a stranger, asking someone what's happening in their life right now, and then really listening to them. So doing that deep listening, that actually not waiting for a space to jump in and say, oh yes, and I've had that experience too, but actually hanging back and really teasing things out and, oh, tell me more, you know, just really being encouraging. So if you see one of your posters around, there are little tear-off hints of things you can do that will improve not only your mental health but other people's. And I suggest that these are, you know, worth experimenting with. Now, going back to overwhelm, overwhelm is not a nice space to be in. And we all handle it differently. Some of us get into a mood and a huff. Some of us adopt a scowling look on our face, and other people know to keep their distance. some of us take off and we want to be on our own. We want to be alone. We want to just chill out somewhere in nature, in the garden, go for a bike ride, turn on some music and have headphones on so people don't try and talk to us. You know, we often have lots of different ploys to deal with stress and overload in an immediate sense. What I'm actually interested in is the suggestions that I've come across in the latest publication that I've got from my library, which is called Good. And it's a magazine that is put out in New Zealand, and one of the articles that I have focused on was called Head Case, How to Cope with Feeling Overwhelmed. And it was a very simple set of recipes of 6 points, but I thought it was worthwhile mentioning because it's practical and you can apply it and you can work with it creatively. You can personalise it and find your own fit. And number one suggestion was to start with the parts of a task you don't feel overwhelmed by. So if you've got a large number of things to get done, maybe pick off some of the easy things first, because that will build your confidence and that will give you feeling a little bit more grounded, and you'll get some satisfaction out of getting something done that's easy. So steps on the way, some sub steps or sub parts of some of the bigger tasks are also a way of getting started and getting yourself into gear so you feel good. Number two, don't plan a big project that's going to take all day, because inevitably you will start out feeling overwhelmed, and even when you're 3/4 of the way through, you may still feel very overwhelmed because you can't really see how you're going to get it finished in the day as your fatigue level rises. And it's harder to take breaks if you're working on one big project in a whole day. I mean, it's quite hard to get out from under and have a breather. Number three is the 10-minute hack. And it's a very clever idea for people who want to avoid tasks or who are prone to that. First of all, you start 10 minutes early. You actually make that disciplined move to start 10 minutes early. And you also work 10 minutes later, so that over the course of several days, you've actually achieved a whole 90 minutes more. And so if you've got a lot of work to get through in one particular week, this is a really good move. And number four is, don't think too far ahead. Sometimes we overwhelm ourselves. In overwhelm, we actually grow the intensity of everything that's on our plate. As we think more and more into tasks, we complicate them more, and then we feel truly overloaded. So one of the skills that's important is to prioritise and take out what are the key things that I need to have done by lunchtime, and what are the things that I must do this week? Because sometimes a project or a number of tasks slot together and they can be spread out and they don't all have to be done in one day. So number five is acceptance. Building acceptance, building self-compassion. Finding out the skills that you can develop about being kind to yourself and about following through with the things that matter in the right priorities, so you are a priority, not just the work. Some people need to take a 5 or 10 minute break for every hour, and that might be, in the old days, a cigarette break. But these days, it's harder to take such breaks, or any break. But if you can build that in, whether that's just a walk to the other end of the building, or around the car park, or to a library, or to a workstation, if you can just take that physical step, then you're not the couch potato for the whole day. So you're actually helping your brain by getting the blood flow going, but you're also helping yourself by regulating your breathing. And that's how you can check yourself. You can go, oh yes, well, I am breathing quite rapidly, and so if I just slow down my breathing, I'm going to be able to centre, and when I go back into the task, I'll get more done. There's a lot about self-compassion and acceptance, and a lot of books written in this area, and one in particular, Daring Greatly by Brené Brown, is an extraordinary book, and I find so much in it that I couldn't even begin to cover her ideas. But one in particular I wanted to focus on is, she's written about the power of vulnerability. She's written about a lot of chief executives she's interviewed who used to think how important it was to be bright and smart and always being right and telling people what to do and how to do it. And one of these chief executives, Christine Day, who was the CEO of Lululemon, the very successful yoga fitness clothes empire, when she interviewed Christine, she found that Christine had made this shift to being a leader of people, to being somebody who actually made the space for others to create. And that was the success behind this company. And so when she interviewed Christine talked about how she had invested so much in being right and telling people what to do. But she was a very smart person in terms of her people skills, and she realised the shortfalls, the way this wouldn't work, the way this wouldn't really set people up to be creative or innovative, the way this wouldn't grow trust. And she needed to have an organisation that was full of trust and creative people who felt safe and able to be vulnerable, to take a risk on new ideas. And this was going to benefit the bottom line. This was going to make profit for the company. She realised all this and she put it into operation. So that's one of the things that I've got out of reading Brené Brown, is that this is not all woo-woo stuff when we talk about mental health. This is not all navel-gazing stuff where we don't have our finger on the pulse and we're not looking at the bottom line anymore. No, this has got a direct impact on how productive people are. And this is why it's so important. It's so important for New Zealand right now, because we need to lift our productivity as a nation. So we need to see this as a mental health imperative. It's this time of the year, when it's spring, and we're getting bombarded with gardening ideas, ideas for cleaning up the home, ideas for setting the scene for the deck and the garden you want at Christmas. And it can seem like, phew, it's a big overwhelm. I mean, help. I haven't looked at the garden for 2 months with all the rain and everything's grown like topsy. Oh, where do I start? So looking at the overwhelm suggestions and trying to apply them in the garden isn't such a stupid move. I think it could be quite successful. I'm very impressed with the New Zealand Gardener and the quality of journalism in it, and they've recently won a lot of awards. So they're available in supermarkets and easy to pick up. And this time they've got some free seeds in as well. But I took note of one of their comments was, even if spring is here, hold your horses. They were suggesting that it's not time to rush out and try and tackle everything and plant everything and try and get into the whole nine yards of growing your potatoes for Christmas, but rather start small with some seed projects and some indoor pots. And yes, you can plant potatoes in containers. Yes, you can get some things going in the garden itself, but you need shelter and you need the soil to be warm, and you certainly don't want clogged wet clay soils. You need lots of compost and manure and sand, and you know, you need to have it well mixed and aerated. So preparation is so important, and when you get hold of magazines like Kiwi Gardener or the New Zealand Gardener, you can draw on other people's expertise. You don't have to be the expert, because they put in such wonderful articles on how to do this, that, these and those, that you will be amazed at what you can achieve. So you can also find that gardening is very good for your mental health. But the other thing that's very good also is music. And music's not everyone's cup of tea, so I've deliberately not chosen music for this session, because I might be putting somebody off. What I like might not be what someone else likes. I could pretty much guarantee that. But there is an album called Music of Hope, which Andre Petraeus was producing, and in a cathedral in Milano in Italy. And it's really a magnificent album, and it really is something that a lot of people would enjoy. So if you go to YouTube and put Andreas Bocelli's name in, and you'll see Music for Hope will come up as an option. Time to sign off for this week, and I hope that you participate in some events during Mental Health Week. Perhaps try out some of the suggestions I've given, or follow some other ideas, or see what's on the, try some things that are on the poster. But we will continue to talk about mental health from time to time on this program, because it is such an important topic. But we also know that whatever policies are out there, whatever opportunities are out there for improvement through the government and through agencies, the most important thing is ourselves and our commitment to ourselves. And so that's why I've emphasised compassion and acceptance. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you and interact in a week's time.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.